Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Best of the holidays, Hanukkah, Christmas, and anything else you want to throw in there.
Right. Yeah. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Of course, I think we'll be on before the New Year, but exciting times out there. A lot of very disturbing news and positive news at the same time, depending on what side of the market you're on. So, a lot of people were looking for the Santa Claus rally, and we had a big up day on Wednesday, then a big down day with a little recovery today, Thursday, as we're doing this recording. But, some of the statistics that I've read over the years actually says officially the Santa Claus rally begins today or tomorrow, the 22nd, 23rd, versus the whole month of December. So if just looking at statistics, for the last, 50 years and looking over all the numbers, this is not all my research, but, basically the 23rd is sort of the official start of it, and it carries into January 4th if there's going to be a rally. So we had a big washout intraday today, Thursday. Dow was down about 800 points and ended up closing down in the 300. So maybe some of the statistics from previous decades says that maybe we will get a little pop here into the new year, but it doesn't change, I believe, the overall trend. But if you're a trader, for example, this morning, we just put out a bulletin saying, hey, jump on the short side, make a few bucks, and the market collapsed after that. And then we decide, well, let's get the hell out and, let's see what happens here with this possible Santa Claus rally phenomenon. So we took a little trade here, and, that's sort of the fun of the game here, trying to do that. And also, as we talked about last week, we got that early warning system for 2023 coming up. This is created by Yale Hirsch from the Stock Traders Almanac, and I gave you guys a long story how I met him and how we had this relationship way back in the 1980s and so forth and so on, without repeating that story. But he created the 5-day warning system, so you got to watch the first 5 days of January as a leading indicator for the year. And the end of the month, how the end of the month, January, closes as compared to December 31st close. So between the 5-day early warning and the whole month, you get sort of a sense of what 2023 might generate. I know it seems so simple. Some of these simple indicators for decades seem to work out. Last year's was negative. Sure enough, we had a negative 2022. And you say, how can that happen? How can the first 5 days of the year, the 30 days, I put together my own little forecast model myself, which showed a big down year for 2022, and it was correct. And, it's all based on cycles, historical precedents, and so forth. So, quote unquote, January barometer, is historically important. Nothing's 100%, but there have been so many good calls on it. You got to, put it up on the wall, see how the short-term indicators and the news is confirming, and, put it all together and get a sense of what the future is like. So predicting the market, in a sense, is not a fantasy. Those many people claim that, you can't time the market, you can't have a crystal ball. With stuff like this, comes as close as you can to having one. And, I've been following this thing since, early mid-1970s. I mean, going way back. So So, you know, I'm a believer, and those who bought my annual forecast model this beginning of 2022 saw that these theories do pan out. And meanwhile, short term, we had the longest day of the year yesterday with the solstice, and we had a new moon, a full moon, actually a let's see here, we actually have a new moon tomorrow as well. So maybe it all sort of ties in here, trading low today, yesterday, tied to maybe a pop into the new year. And, you know, I've been questioning how will the winter solstice come out, which was due on the 21st, 22nd. And it's funny because the solstices we had prior to the summer solstice in June and the September equinox both came near at or near trading lows in the market. And maybe the solstice we saw here yesterday, today, sort of confirmed that same little pattern, some type of little trading low, and with the new moon here. So just interesting cyclical stuff that I, you know, throw out there in the newsletter. So I guess my bet is, you know, even though we had a nasty day on Thursday and overall the trend of the market is probably overall down, maybe indeed we hit a little trading bottom here. But, you know, the stuff that's going on in Washington and Ukraine and the Federal Reserve and Congress spending money like the drunken sailors and, you know, not to mention geocosmic issues out there around the planet. You know, we go through a whole set of, you know, predictions for next year. So I think if we have a little party here, Jim, to the upside, assuming we have a great party at all, but I'll give it a little bit of benefit of the doubt. Let's see if we get some follow through. I think it's sort of temporary, but you know, this is really an optimistic statement because we made money on paper. You know, we have a hypothetical portfolio that we on an education basis put out, and I didn't do my disclaimer earlier that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I give financial advice. It's just educational statistics and history and statistics that we talk about. But we did, you know, profit on paper, you know, for the people that read our reports, you know, based on this stuff. So, you know, I think I give it, you know, some attention and credit here. And that's sort of my opening statement here for you this afternoon.
And do we have a special offer for our listeners?
I sure do. We love listeners to the House Street program. It's 2022 half off. As it sounds, 2022HALFOFF, and that's the promo code that you put in on any newsletter you like to sign up for at VR, that's Victor R. Robert, VRTrader.com, and it's for any newsletter, any time frame you sign up for. So it's 2022, half off.
What do you think the Fed's going to do? Do you think they're going to take their foot off the gas pedal when it comes to interest rates, or is it still full speed ahead?
You know, so much of this is political. You know, there has been talk, you know, that some congressmen and senators and here, you know, criticizing the Fed for its actions. We even had Mohammed Dalarian, the famous economist from PIMCO, come out and say, you know, I put this into my newsletter every day just as a reminder that, you know, it isn't just me. You know, he said it was getting harder to justify an independent Fed. So, you know, the Congress, which created it back in 1913, could, in theory, if they got pissed off enough, could disband the Federal Reserve. And if the Federal Reserve goes crazy and tries to emulate Paul Volcker from the 1980s and drive rates up to 16 or 18 or 20%, I don't think politically they're going to survive. And I think they're in fear of that if they do something really stupid. Depends how many people they get pissed off of driving rates up. So the problem is they're incompetent in this area. They've already, you know, they created the depression in the 1930s by raising interest rates, according to what, you know, Ben Bernanke stated back in 2008-09. And, we've seen them destructive more than constructive, late, not early in their calls. You know, show me an economist and I could show you someone who never calls the stock market correctly. You need a market technician or cyclical analyst like myself and even ourselves. So, you know, we're not perfect either, but we're a lot better than than economists. So, you know, basically they claim to be on track to continue to raise rates. They want to get the overall inflation down to 2%. As you know, it's closer to the 7.5 range. There's no way that's going to happen unless there's some other dramatic event or change. You know, suddenly, we have a new administration in Washington, and suddenly they allow the production of crude oil production everywhere, open the Keystone Pipeline again, you know, do some dramatic event that creates a supply, and that would help drive inflation down. Congress would have to stop spending money. They'd have to, you know, start lowering taxes rather than raising taxes. I mean, it'd have to be some pretty dramatic events, close the U.S. border and protect it on the southern border rather than sending money to a criminal like Zelensky, who is, more of that than a positive force. I mean, there's so many things that, you know, need to happen that probably won't happen. But if they did, then maybe interest rates would come down and, they wouldn't have to go up. I mean, inflation would come down. They wouldn't have to go to 2% on a forcible basis because they would drop themselves as more supply hit the market. And, we stop spending money like crazy. So the answer is probably they're going to continue to raise unless there's some dramatic event. You know, obviously, if this war in Europe, which is already underway, expands, which is my belief, I mean, we're funding Ukraine. It seems like we're hell-bent on creating a world war. Rather than, you know, negotiate a peace with Putin, which could have, this whole thing could have been avoided if, he just was given guarantees that, there was no, nuclear weapons on his border and Ukraine wasn't a NATO member. If they had just made some concessions, which they didn't want to do, then none of this, in my opinion, would have happened at all. And there wouldn't have been any invasion and we wouldn't have had all this nuclear threat that's out there. I mean, it's just common sense. So the only conclusion you can come to is that the powers that be, those in Washington, the Democratic Party, Klaus Schwab with his World Economic Forum and George Soros and all these bad players, you know, they want war with Russia, which could be a big backfire to the West. And if that happens, your inflation scenario is going to get a lot worse. The Fed's going to be, entangled with an impossible task if war really expands and there's a risk of, you know, a nuclear event. And it could really pyramid to the downside. So I think, 2023 is not going to be a great year. And as far as Fed being successful with all these negative variables out there, unless the get some significant positives, including peace in Europe, including, production of oil and gas, including a change of administration in Washington and on and on and on, which don't appear very likely at the moment, I'm afraid, the Fed's going to be stuck, trying to raise rates and not, unfortunately, being able to win the battle unless they go to extreme Paul Volcker standards, which I don't know if those would be successful. So it's the thing you got to do is be on the short side in the market, be in cash, or as I mentioned last week, get into interest treasury, interest risk-free treasury bills or bonds that have zero risk. And just ride out the storm. And if you're a little bit of a trader like we are, VR trader, you try to catch, little moves here and there, up and down some stocks and indexes day to day, which for me is fun and sport. You know, this is what I enjoy doing. Unless you're doing that, you're better off just being out of the market in risk-free treasury bills or short the market using inverse indexes for the months ahead.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, with this huge cold wave rolling through North America, are natural gas prices going to be unbelievable?
I think they should. I mean, unless the market is, being manipulated, and it has been, and this is the problem. You see, you have futures markets that are, basically mostly on the COMEX and other futures markets that, and like gold and silver, unfortunately, are manipulated because they're paper contracts. You know, it's funny, like Joe Biden was saying, well, he's going to buy crude oil when it gets down to a lower level in the 70s area. So, you know, how does he know that? Well, you know, one of the things you can do is you get the, you know, government in there, which has already been proven to be the case where they, you know, there's been lawsuits filed against, big banks that work with the government in terms of manipulation of the precious metals market. So what do? They hit bids in the crude oil contracts, the natural gas contracts. So there's nothing behind them. They have infinite money and paper to support that position, and they just drive prices down in the futures markets, which unfortunately also affect the cash and spot market. So you can say, well, the real news is there's shortages and we need more natural gas. But if you got selling pressure on the futures contracts, and as fraudulent as it may be by those that are trying to suppress prices, that affects the market. But common sense says you should see higher natural gas prices and you should see higher crude oil prices, particularly if the war in Europe expands, as it appears it's going to, as the government, this government here is funding it. So, I'm bullish on crude oil and natural gas. I just think that there should be shortages, and the question is whether the bad players out there that are trying to suppress the market are overcome or not. It just makes sense that if we get into more of a military conflict, and we're only talking Europe now. You know, we're not talking Iran, Israel. We're not talking Taiwan, China, which all these things are going to happen one way or another. And you got North Korea out there, who knows what they're going to do. And, you know, you've got Russia and China joining forces now on a military basis. So, you know, there's going to be, you know, higher prices. There's going to be shortages at some point. So, you know, on the charts, you know, both natural gas and, or crude oil itself, to me, look like they've hit a little bit of a trading bottom. So I'm more constructive on those, just from a common sense point of view.
Is the U.S. dollar going to continue to be strong, or is it going to slide downwards now?
Well, the bulls, the gold bulls and silver bulls, commodity bulls, want to see the dollar continuing weak, which is good for them. And, you know, we got a little oversold here in the last couple of days, and the U.S. dollar bounced a little bit the last day or two. I don't know. I mean, the charts still say you're in a downtrend, you know, big downtrend. You hit a little support. Maybe we'll get a, you know, bounce in here. I haven't seen anything that says that we've got a reversal downtrend in the dollar, which really started, you know, back in September, mid-September. And it's just been sliding ever since. And to me, it makes sense that if there's, you know, war in Europe or other risks around the world, you know, money tends to flow into the U.S. dollar. I know, you know, China and Russia and others are trying to get rid of the petrodollar. They're trying to switch the currencies, currency reliance, you know, on the dollar, and, you know, change the basis for transactions. And the ruble's been strong, mainly because he's been backing it with gold and because they've been doing a lot of business in crude oil in Russia, and China's been accumulating gold. So there's a lot of, you know, enemies of the U.S. dollar out there, and, you know, that is a formidable force, but, you know, I don't think they've been successful yet. And, you know, in that sense, the dollar, you know, still has, could be a bastion of safety for many foreign investors or world investors. So, you know, it seemed to me that the dollar could resume strength, and you know, what we're seeing here, you know, the pullback in the last few weeks is just a technical event. So, you know, we're going to follow the numbers. You know, if we get a strong reversal pattern, and there's, you know, we have a little support here, you know, we'll obviously play it. But, you know, my gut feeling is with what's going around the world right now, you know, the dollar, until they get rid of it completely, is still going to be a bastion of strength, and you could see it, you know, take off again next year. So I'm, you know, on a trading basis, I'm neutral here because we just hit a little support. But my gut feeling is, you know, money's looking for a safe place, that the U.S. dollar may still be the place to go.
Do you think cryptos will bounce back once the so-called bad players are kind of sifted out of the system?
We're talking about Mr. Freed, aren't we?
Yeah, who's out on $250 million bail. Apparently his parents have that kind of cash laying around.
Yeah, well, they claim in the news that he's going to be living with his parents, and if he skips out and doesn't honor the bond, they'll take the parents' house and so forth. you know, I was listening to the news today about what's going on there, the bail and how they're treating the situation and comparing it to Bernie Madoff and his Ponzi scheme from years ago. You know, crypto and, you know, the bad players are not necessarily the same, you know, same thing. I mean, there's a reason why crypto was created, Bitcoin was created, you know, as a way to protect yourself against the system, get your money away from currencies and the dollar and other currencies which have suffered over the decades, a refuge, you know, away from scrutiny, you know, privacy concerns and so forth. And there's going to be, you know, I think more and more of a push for that. I mean, the government's trying to stick their nose and regulate everything. And, you know, there are those that may ignore that. Not every country in the world may go along with what the Securities and Exchange Commission or the Commodities Futures Trading Commission or Congress wants to do here in the U.S. There's a lot of people in the world besides the people in the U.S. And, you know, the cryptocurrencies that were created and have existed for about 20 years now based on, the fear of government and the desire for privacy and security outside the system. So it seems to me the worse things get around the world, politically, economically, the more, you know, cryptocurrency would be in demand. And, you know, can the governments really shut it down if they tried? And it's like the war against cash. I mean, the governments are against anybody holding cash. You know, you go to the bank, you try to take out cash or put in cash, they question where you got the cash. They want to control everything in our lives. And that's why they're talking about a digital currency here in the U.S., where suddenly all your money in the bank is converted to a digital currency and the actual physical currency doesn't exist anymore, and you got to obey their rules and they can track what you're doing or not doing. So, you know, more and more of that happens. You would think that, you know, the Bitcoins of the world and the Ethereums and other cryptos would gain strength because people would object to that kind of control and scrutiny and so forth. So we'll see how it all plays out. It's a war, you know, government trying to take control of our lives versus those of us who want to be independent. And, you know, it seems like history continues to repeat itself. You know, the same old nonsense, you know, the brown shirts of Nazi Germany. Now you can compare that to the IRS agents they're going to hire here in the U.S. carrying guns. I mean, it's like incredible that, you know, we don't learn from history and people actually agree and go along with this stuff and they vote for it. And accept it. I think it's a lack of education on the part of people. Some people are just mentally ill, which I've talked about in my newsletter for a long time. I mean, Michael Savage wrote a book about 10, 15 years ago saying, you know, liberalism is a mental disorder. And he builds a case for that. It's people that you don't study the facts. You have a preconceived notion about people or cultures and you just stick with it and you don't really realize what you're doing or saying. And I think there is a mental illness proportion to all this. And fortunately, many in the Democratic Party and others in this country suffer from that because they're not acting logically. I mean, for example, why would you open your borders in the U.S. and let millions of people run in breaking the law and not conforming to, you know, decades or if not 100 or 200 years of regulation regarding immigration? Why would you change that and accept that as the new norm? You have to be a little mentally ill. I mean, you're not defending your country. You're letting your borders go down. There's no sovereignty. What's the point of having a country? So that among many issues, that's just one I'm bringing to the top of the conversation. You know, why would you let your congressmen spend money like crazy and destroy the value of your currency, which is they're doing right now. They're trying to pass this omnibus bill, you know, over $1 trillion when we already know we're in debt. We already know the Federal Reserve is trying to curtail inflation. And they go ahead and spend money, which opposes what the Federal Reserve is trying to accomplish, even though, as I mentioned earlier, that's not the only reason for it. There's other things causing inflation besides just spending money, but, you know, supply chain issues and all kinds of stuff, you know. But it's crazy out there, Jim. It's just, you know, I get off on a tangent here, but, I mean, you know, bottom line is you got to protect yourself in this type of environment. And the cryptos are one way of doing it, in my opinion. So I think Bitcoin, you know, having dropped from, $68,000 down to $15,000, $16,000, and you can look at GBTC, which is the ETF for Bitcoin, You know, it was high as I think around $58 a share, and now it's around $8. We've already seen some big cycles in Bitcoin in the last 15, 20 years. I would think on a couple year basis, it's not a bad place to be looking at it again.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Happy New Year, happy Merry Christmas, and thank you all for listening to our interviews.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah, too. I forgot. My Jewish friends would be angry. Thank you.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.